Instructions to all persons of Japanese. Instructions to all persons of Japanese ancestry. Instructions to all persons of Japanese.
Good morning. You are tuned into Between the Covers here on KBOO Community Radio. I am Jenna Yokoyama, just running into the studio. Today, we are going to be doing something a little bit different for Between the Covers. We're going to be talking about a graphic novel. I know, it'll be okay, everyone, because we are specifically talking about George Takei's new graphic novel, They Called Us Enemy. I recently went to Comic-Con down in San Diego, where I was lucky enough to snag an interview with two of the people who created the book, writer Justin Eisinger and graphic artist Harmony Becker. And in case you haven't heard about this latest release from Top Shelf, They Call Us Enemy is a graphic novel that is based on George Takei's lived experience during World War II as a child while he was incarcerated in Japanese-American concentration camps with his family. Unfortunately, I was only given a 10-minute interview slot when talking to the artist and writer, so joining me in studio this morning is Kurt Ikeda, Education Manager for the Oregon Nikkei Endowment, to discuss the impact of the graphic novel format when telling the Japanese-American story. Good morning, Kurt.
Good morning, Jenna.
Thank you for joining me this morning. You know, let's just get right into that interview with Harmony Becker, the graphic artist, and Justin Eisinger, one of the co-writers for George's, Uncle George's, They Called Us Enemy.
Can we talk about how this project first came about? Justin, can you let us know?
Absolutely. So I'm the editorial director, graphic novels and collections for IDW Publishing. Been there for 12 years. And through my time with the company, I had a lot of chance to interact with Congressman John Lewis during his convention appearances with the company. Through talking with him and speaking with him, you know, and watching him, more importantly, watching him speak up in the room we were in yesterday, it was really kind of a transformative moment for me, or experience for me. And you know, I just recognized the power of what he had accomplished with the March books and how important it was for stories of critical American history, or really any history, to be preserved and turned into a format that is just so accessible, right, to people of all ages, and especially people who maybe wouldn't find themselves looking into those sort of subject matters and then being fascinated by them, right? So in the fall of 2016, while sort of amidst a period of thinking about what would we want to tackle, I think it was at New York Comic Con, maybe I heard George Takei's name or something, and it was just sort of like, oh my gosh, that's George Takei has a tragic story about American history that maybe he would like to tell in a graphic novel. And it turned out that the gentleman standing next to me, who ended up being my co-writer, Stephen Scott, knew the Takeis because he had worked with them when he was working at Archie. As part of his rollout for the Kevin Keller gay character at Archie, George Takei had been part of that promotion. They had met each other. And so we had a rather simple ability to basically ask George Takei, what would you think about turning your story into a graphic novel? And obviously he recognized the opportunity because here we are right now. And so it really started with sort of a wing and a prayer a gentleman who recognized the power that we could provide to help him get that story in front of a whole new audience and a new platform from which to help maintain this history for generations to come.
Yeah. And Harmony, how did you get involved in this project?
So I was tabling at Comic Arts Brooklyn in 2017, I think it was November, and Lee Walton, our editor, came up to me and he asked if I was interested in being involved in a project about the Japanese-American experience. And I was like, well, I'm Japanese-American, I experience things, so that sounds like it could be good. And a couple months later, I think in February, he got in touch with me again and he said, do you remember, are you still interested in being a part of this project? It's for George Takei. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, of course. You don't say no to George Takei. So, yeah, and it's my first published book, so I was totally just kind of like thrown into the deep end, but it's been an amazing experience, and I'm super honored to be a part of it.
Yeah, I was amazed to hear that this was your first book, because it's just, and it's beautiful. And your work really brought this story to life, because I'm Japanese American as well, and so George Takei's story is very familiar to me. You know, he has autobiography that came out, and he's been so vocal about his story. And so I thought, okay, this will be an interesting way to see his story again.
And I got the book, had you guys sign. Thanks for signing my book. And I took the book home that night, and I cried my way through the book, which was a totally unexpected reaction from myself. And I realized it was just because of this visualization, you know. Those details that were so always described in words finally, I don't know, somehow the images were just so powerful. And so I'm wondering, have you gotten any feedback about the impact of bringing it to life through pictures?
I don't want to like come across as like braggy or anything.
I'll tell you all the things you're saying.
Well, okay, so I feel that it wasn't just me. Like, I had a very amazing script to work with, and also just amazing source material, just in that George's family was just so loving, and the resilience that his parents had in shielding his innocence and his siblings from the horrors going on around them, that was something that George is always very vocal about, and super vocal about the role that his parents played in who he is today, both as a person and as an activist. But also just the script was, like, the love that George had for his family and that his family had for him, and everything came through so strongly in the script, so I really had my work cut out for me. But I was very honored when George, the book had just come out, we had just, like, finished the book, and we were at ALA, and we were at dinner, and George told me that he started crying, and he was like, you really visualize the love that my family had for each other. But I mean, like I said, it was all there. I was just my job was to translate it basically onto paper.
One thing I really appreciated was how much you captured that innocence. There was one panel, I forget, they're on the train, and you just captured his face of that childhood innocence. His eyes were sparkling. And because one thing that's really beautiful about the way you've captured the story is it's kind of manga anime style, but very much a classic, you know, graphic novel style. And so you were with the sparkling eyes and everything. I know my family, we have lots of, yes, that one. We had lots of children that went in my family as well. And so their experience is always, when they tell it to me, it's just, it was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine. But I never get to hear the perspective of their parents in the same way that George told it. So I just really appreciate how you were able to capture that complexity through your artwork. I was just sort of wondering, what is the future of this book right now? Is it going on tour, or what is happening with press in general?
Well, George Takei is pretty popular, as you may have already imagined. Yeah, a little bit. And so he's got some events coming up that he's going to be doing. I think actually today he's right now at the Japanese American National Museum in L.A. doing a signing for the membership there. They've been obviously very supportive and hugely anticipating of the book. Vroman's bookstore makes a cameo in the book. Vroman's is up in Pasadena, so he's doing a signing at Vroman's to help support them and their dedication to the
Herbert Nicholson.
Thank you so much. His story is fascinating on its own. He was a Quaker missionary who just stood up against all the you know the games that the society was playing against Japanese Americans. And then George will be doing that. I think he's got a signing maybe up in the Seattle area coming. So right now it's not officially a tour, but it's sort of an unofficial George Takei tour. As far as our further con schedule and book shows, there will be more. We just have to figure out exactly what's happening, starting really with New York Comic Con, into the winter shows and whatever like that. But sorry, I've become a rambling answer.
So I know this book has been out for 3 days, right?
Yeah. Tuesday, I think, was the official release day, right?
But I wonder, have you heard any reactions yet from people who maybe didn't know this story and are learning it through this publication at all?
I haven't heard anyone say that per se yet, but I've seen reviews popping up where people are commenting that they knew a little bit and they're learning off an awful lot more. And I think the thing that really makes me the most excited, I know for George and the entire team, is most rewarding, is when we have librarians and teachers say, "Thank God you made this. This will help me teach this in my class. This will help me educate my students. This will help me put this in my library." I mean, that's the mission that we're on here. And so to know that we've potentially achieve some level of that so early in the process is rewarding in the way it's going to make me cry just thinking about it. So, yeah.
And I think it's also been really important for us that there's been a lot of Japanese Americans coming through and in the signings coming and saying, like, my parents were, or my grandparents were in a camp, and when George asked them which one, a lot of the time they don't know. but just that another story is brought to light so that Japanese Americans whose ancestors experienced this are able to have a point of reference and something to be able to really understand exactly what it was that their grandparents and ancestors went through that maybe they didn't want to share with them directly. Because super Japanese of them.
Every time that happens, it literally, it just is like a proof of George's hypothesis of his whole mission, which is that they weren't speaking about it, they don't know, and it's heartbreaking every single time. I mean, and I don't know, it's got to be a phenomenon that we experience that I don't think other comic book creators have, obviously, is that sort of level of, you're scratching at a really powerful thing there, and it's, like I said, it's an honor, it's a responsibility, it's a weight, and I know that we're so, take it very seriously, and are so, like I said, I've used the word honored, I'll use it again, we're very honored to have been able to work with George to do this incredibly important mission that only became more important and more critical and more timely as the creative process went on. And to think that a few days before our book would go on sale, we once again would be having a national, global discussion about policies of the American government that so closely mirror what happened in the 40s. And then furthermore, have the conversation between internment camp, or American internment camp, Japanese internment camp, Japanese American internment camp, and now concentration camp all exploded is just, you know, it's really painful. But I'm one of these people who I was raised to believe that you can't solve a problem until you look at it head on. You have to talk about it to address it and then fix it. And I think that maybe if we can help play a very small part in just getting past the diminishing of some of these narratives, the so much more. I know that'll be call it a wrap. You know, like stick a fork in me, I'm done. That's all we really. You know, that's something I could ever hope to set out to accomplish. And maybe doing that's just amazing. Sorry. Going.
Yeah, something I really appreciated is, you know, George Takei said he wrote this book to tell the story to the world. But as a Japanese American, maybe I'm being very selfish in that I am very appreciative that he's done for the Japanese American community and just telling the story. Because as you're saying, so many people don't know where their families went. I'm very fortunate that I know where my family went. And they remember the Quaker that delivered the books because they were at Manzanar. And the Quakers are very generous to our family. And so, you know, it's just sometimes I want to always remind the Nikkei community that, yeah, we don't even know our own story. So just thank you so much for bringing this story to us and to the world. Because, yeah, this type of intimacy is something that's lacking when that story is told. Because I was basically told, like, I went to Manzanar and then we went away for a little bit and then we came home and everything was fine, you know. So to see, especially Japanese people being portrayed as human beings with real emotion that's incredibly complex, and these parents who are so loving, was just such a powerful story to me. So I just really want to thank you again for taking all this time and for your talents. And yeah, just thank you.
Well, you're very welcome, man. And thank you for taking the time to speak with us and anything you do to help amplify the message of the book. We really appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Justin and Harmony.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Well, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Between the Covers here on Cable Community Radio. And what we just listened to was an interview with two of the people from the team behind George Takei's latest book, a graphic novel called They Called Us Enemy. We just heard from the graphic artist Harmony Becker and co-writer Justin Eisinger. And the other co-writer on that, but not in our interview, is Stephen Scott. So here joining me in studio to discuss the book is Kurt Ikeda, the education manager for the Oregon Nikkei Endowment. So, Kurt, you've read through the graphic novel, yes?
I have.
And what was your reaction reading it for the first time? Because I think I dropped it off to you like 2 days ago.
Yeah, and you see my version. I have it in studio, multiple post-it notes. I'm also a former teacher, so this is just generally how I look at books. You talked about in your interview with Harmony and Justin, there's something so quintessentially Japanese about just the way that Harmony brings George's life to paper for us. Whether it's just these hints of kind of manga art styles that I remember growing up reading as a Nisei, as a second generation Japanese American. So that means my mom is an immigrant. Mm-hmm. So I grew up speaking both Japanese and English. And I remember reading, when I mean reading, I mean looking at the pictures. I couldn't really read. Yeah. My own home language, but just kind of looking at these faces. And a lot of these protagonists in Shonen Jump, you know, were these blonde-haired, blue-eyed characters living in a Japanese-based world. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't that here.
Yeah.
It was our story, and I say our very, very specifically. And it just brought it to life. And there was multiple moments. We talked about this before, but just crying, just tears. My book is tear-stained.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that made me cry, and okay, so spoiler, if you're going to pick up this book, spoilers, all spoilers, that's what's happening. I'm giving you 3, 2, 1 to turn off the radio. Here we go. And spoiling things. There is a scene where Santa goes and visits the concentration camps, right? They're so excited. It's Christmas time. George and his brother are so excited. And then they're disappointed because when Santa shows up, they realize, oh, it's just a Japanese guy in a suit, and that this wasn't the real Santa because they had gone to the mall the year before and Santa was white.
Right. And then they all said that, of course, Santa wouldn't come by
the
camps.
I closed the book. I had to close the book to cry for a little bit.
I hear that.
Yeah.
You know, but I wonder how many Asian Americans who are listening on radio today or just in general, how often have we wanted an Asian American Santa?
Exactly.
I would have loved an Asian American Santa growing up.
Exactly. And so that's why it was just one of those like really emotional moments where I would have loved to see that. But at the same time, they were just feeling so isolated from the world. It's just such a complex thing. And I really enjoyed that about the book, that it really captured all the complex feelings, at least for me, of what that is to feel othered and to want to fit in and then not even see yourself in Santa when Santa looks like you.
Right.
And so, you know, I mentioned this in the interview. And by the way, if you go back and listen to the interview and you wonder why I'm like, in the middle of the interview, it's because I fall off the chair. You know, when I mentioned to them that this book, you know, really made me cry, even though I already knew George Takei's story within the Japanese-American community. He's one of the very few kind of people who actively tells her story a lot and is very, you know, publicly out there because he's one of very few famous Japanese Americans. And so it wasn't as though I was reading anything new about his story, but there was the visualization of everything was very emotional and very unexpected for me. Do you think that the visualization of that story impacted you in any way while you were reading through it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, everything just from the way Harmony Becker drew it to, so I used to teach high school English, and when teaching high school English, I tried to bring a graphic novel curriculum in. So we studied this book by Scott McCloud called Understanding Comics. And he says, you know, when you look at a photo, you see it as a face of another. But when you enter the world of cartoons, that's when you see yourself. And I thought that this book captured that feeling because generally just one, we're looking at little Asian American boys and girls, young Asian American boys and girls, old Asian American boys and girls. My family was incarcerated in camp. My step-grandfather was in camp as an 8-year-old. Your family as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So I think it's just kind of seeing that come to life, seeing the anguish on the mother's face when they have to leave and they're forcefully removed, seeing the father's kind of determination, but their belief in democracy, but as every single civil right is stripped away, and seeing George and his siblings, kids. Just smiling faces. There's not too many times you see George's character or George in the book tearing up. There's moments, and those are poignant. But the majority of it are these kind of recollections of child's play, like the Sakana Beach incident in the book, right?
Yeah. Read that. It's funny. And if you're Nikkei, you already know. You're like, Sakana Beach. But yeah, so you know, as a teacher, I forget that you were... And like a teacher who worked with, you know, that group that we tend to think of graphic novels being focused for. But I think that's, you know, actually not true in practice.
Yeah.
Right? You are very much well out of high school and you still read graphic novels.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I read graphic novels. And so do you think that there is an impact for anybody who reads this type of book and telling this Japanese American story? Because there's so many books out there about the Japanese American story, right?
But yeah.
I feel like this is something different.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think first and foremost, you know, there's so many different graphic novels that have been popping up for the past decade or so, from Mouse, for Art Spiegelman talking about the Jewish experience, ABC, American Born Chinese by Jean Luen Yang, and March by Congressman John Lewis. I mean, I think this is really bolstered up this graphic novel being seen as a art form of writing that should be also put on the same precipice as the literature and the canon that we teach young kids today. You know, I'm not sure if you had a chance to read Hello, Maggie by Shigeyabu. He's a survivor of Heart Mountain. And it was illustrated by Willie Ito. So if you're familiar with the Disney movie, you might know it as Lady and the Tramp. He was the illustrator, and he was in Topaz as a child. So I look at George's They Call Us Enemy almost as the middle school, high school, and adult reading that's required, not just in our community, but in America, if Willie Ito's version is just an introduction for young kids using colorful comics in the Disney style. But George, I think, doesn't shy away. The last few pages of this book is very, very honest.
Yeah, because the last few pages of the book are the attempt to tie in the story to today. It's heartbreaking. You see, a picture of a child who is being, you know, detained right now in those same camps. And so, you know, when I went to Comic-Con, I actually went to George Takei's panel that he had about this book, and he talked about how that was the importance of telling this story, you know, to make people see that these stories are still happening. And he said something like, if everybody in America could read this story and really understand what we went through, he said, I don't think that we would have the kind of administration we have today. Because he was just saying that he really thinks it has so much to do with ignorance and people just not being told stories. And so he's hoping that this becomes a more accessible way to tell the stories. And I mean, I think it's just so true, you know, that we see, I mean, just representation these days, you know, we see it coming through so much through, well, Marvel. We see it coming through pop culture, right? These things are pushing those discussions more than anything. You know, while I was at Comic-Con, they announced how Simu Liu is going to be the latest Marvel action hero.
That's the Shang-Chi movie coming up.
Yes, right? An Asian American. And I think it's easy in the past, especially we go, oh, well, that Superman, that Batman, those are cartoons, right? But we now see how impactful that is. I don't know about you, but I mean, I'm not a huge Marvel fan, but I still shed a little tear. Okay, wait, Kurt is like, he's salivating, like, oh my gosh.
I'm a huge Marvel fan.
So is this super exciting news for you?
I mean, absolutely. For the folks who are comic book readers, Greg Pak, Asian American writer, Asians of Atlas. Let's be honest, it's Asians of Atlas. It's a group of Asian American and Asian superheroes. Yeah. The newest one coming out is Isaac Ikeda, who shares my same last name. Protector of Pan, Pan-Asia, I'd imagine. I mean, it's, if you're a person of color and you're reading something that looks like you, that sounds like you, this book sounds like my mom, this book feels like my grandfather, this book feels like our community here in Portland, this Nikkei Japanese American community, I felt so many emotions. But at the end of the day, when I closed this book, I felt joy. You know, I got to be swept away in a world where I got to look at myself in a page. And that's how literature should be.
I like that you say that it brought you joy.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I think I had a hard time accepting that because it's such a sad story. And I think that's always a really difficult part about our community is that we have a really painful story. But in the telling of it often brings these feelings of joy just because that those stories have been hidden from us by people of our own community. So when you get to hear that story, it's like this cathartic joy in so many ways. And one thing that was joyful for me in this was seeing his Japanese American parents being portrayed as people with very, very complex emotions and that they were loving, right? That like they weren't just, you know, parents who took their kids to camp and then they survived, like that they showed the subtlety of what it is to have a loving relationship within a Japanese family, which I think is often not portrayed in the telling of our story because we just are so much pushing facts, right? Everybody went to camp, they went to this. And so to see that contrast, one of my favorite parts is when they're on the train to go to the camps, or maybe they're going to the racetrack, something like that, but they're being evacuated, quote-unquote evacuated from their homes for
removed
the first time.
So,
yeah, removed, forcefully removed. And George Trice explains that for him, his parents told him that this was an adventure because they're trying to keep it so positive. It's an adventure. And so there he is, all happy, eating his candy on the train while he's looking around and the adults are crying.
Yeah.
And even though I know this in my head, I know that's what would have happened, to see the picture of this kid, like with the big, you know, anime eyes, you contrasted next to this, you know, probably this Issei Nisei crying Japanese woman adult. Right. that never crossed my mind really visually before of what that would be to watch this child who has no idea and being shielded by the whole community to keep that joy.
Yeah.
It made me smile and cry to say, wow, our community is so immensely loving and caring towards their children.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, also just working at the Japanese American Museum here, right, in Oregon, in Portland, Oregon, we have a bunch of photos from before camp, from after camp, a few in camp by the War Relocation Authority, a few hidden cameras that were bought later. But there aren't that many accounts of what camp experience looked like on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. And through Becker's drawings and through George's story, you get to actually see a little bit of that. One of my favorite parts is on the same notion of these Japanese-American parents. George's mom is a Nisei, born in Northern California. And she says this Japanese phrase, uchi wa uchi. So the full phrase is hito wa hito, uchi wa uchi, which if you speak the language, you know other people are other people. Our house is our house. And I think that's such a poignant phrase. She says it right at the moment when George needs to hear that, look, we're all 120,000 of us across the United States are incarcerated, but we could control what happens here to some extent in our home. Our home life is our home life. And that alongside gaman, right, to endure, shikata ga nai, can't be helped. This book very much captures kodomo no tame ni, for the sake of the children. But, you know, uchi wa uchi, I think that's great. Our home is our home. And I would like to believe that there's more hidden stories like that. And this book just brings one fantastic story to light.
Well, hopefully it'll get people to either explore their own story, if it's their story, or to start asking why they don't know the story if they don't, or just learn more. We're all out of time. We could talk about this forever. I'm sure, you know, we'll go off air and we'll keep talking about it. So come on down to Kebu if you want to be part of the discussion. I'd really like to thank Kurt Ikeda for joining me for this kind of special Between the Covers. I like to think of it as leading into Words and Pictures, since that's what they talk about more of the graphic novels. Kurt Ikeda, Oregon Nikkei Endowment. If people want to learn more about the Oregon Nikkei Endowment, how can they do that?
Yep, www.oregonnikkei.org, N-I-K-K-E-I. We're also on Facebook. Come check us out. We're here in Portland's Old Town off of 2nd between Cooch and Davis. Come by to our museum and learn more.
All right, and stay tuned now for Words and Pictures. Thanks for tuning in.